And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We've gathered experts to help guide you in a variety of areas that you just might have questions about having to deal with technology. The experts are here in the studios of KCSD in Sioux Falls. I've got John T. Meyer here. We're live on Meerkat with John T. this morning.
We are live this afternoon. If you don't know what that is, it's an app that's about 7 days old, and we're going to be talking about it, so I'll just tease it for that for now. I'll let you do introductions.
Absolutely. Joel Brovelite will join us shortly. And from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Peer, Jeff Litterick joins us. Hello, Jeff. And you can call, tweet, or email your questions, or simply swing by our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio, to post your question or your comment there. Don't be shy. Our phone number, 800-456-0766 at SDPB is our Twitter handle. And, of course, the email address that that most people like to use, John T., midday at SDPB.org. And John, you're excited about Meerkat. And first off, this is an app for streaming video on a phone. That doesn't sound new.
No, not at all. You're right. It is not a new thing. Certainly a concept that whether it's Meerkat or some app that comes after Meerkat, it's going to catch on. What's interesting, in just 7 days, Meerkat has really exploded. And what they did that was interesting is they built it on the backbone of Twitter, meaning when I go live, it then sends out a tweet to my followers to say, you know, I'm live. So here we are. Live, obviously, on the radio.
Sure.
And then live here on my phone streaming, so people can almost be in the studio and watch. We have about a dozen people right now watching. And so it kind of uses the network effects of Twitter. So if someone retweets it or comments, it kind of expands your audience a little bit wider than if I were to post. If I were to say, go to SDPB and watch the stream online, it's just, it's a little bit more friction, right? So if people are already checking Twitter,
sure,
just boom, there it is. And it turns your phone essentially to a TV camera trick.
Right. Yeah. It's immediate and it's local, hyper-local and immediate. And that's what I like about it. I think that's really cool. So if you see news happening, you can instantly feed that out to all your friends or people that follow you on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, it's funny because people are learning how it works, right? So some people go live on Meerkat and they're sitting in their kitchen eating chips, you know, like that's not entertaining at all.
Not compelling
but,
at all.
Yeah, you're exactly right. For live events, I think of how jealous I would be right now if someone were meerkatting from Twin Spring Training down in Florida or at a concert that they're going to this weekend, or, you know, that live type of stuff is really fun. You can feel like you're there.
Is this a boy, what kind of rights are we getting into there?
Yeah, when you're, yeah, good point. Good point. I'm not a lawyer, but when you are talking about rebroadcasting, if you're at a professional sporting event or a concert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's a smaller audience,
another
right?
Example
it's just
of,
people that are on your Twitter list, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess the other thing we should say, like lots of trends right now, it's the video's ephemeral. It's like Snapchat where it goes away. So if you're not live right now on the feed, it'll be gone once I close it down. So it's not like I can rebroadcast it or you go back and get it.
So there's no archive.
Well, I should say you can save it to your camera roll, so you can save a copy of it, which
that's
if I
right.
really wanted to, then I could upload it to YouTube, repurpose it.
At a later date.
Cut it up a little bit.
How's the quality?
It's very good, I think. So we got, like I said, about a dozen people here. When I flip the camera on you, you can't see it. But
yeah,
and obviously
right.
our listeners, this is not compelling radio, but the quality is good. It turns your phone, like I said, into a TV truck. And I think it's interesting. What's really fascinating, it was launched off of a website called Product Hunt, which is a great website that I go to find new tools and new apps and new services. And it's an early adopter play, right? There's a leaderboard, which is super interesting because they gamify that. So now all these people want to be on the leaderboard. And so you have unknown people, probably like me, and then you'll have a celebrity like Ashton Kutcher does a Meerkat and jumps to the number five
absolutely.
On the leaderboard because he's got a huge following.
Right. And that's that does look good, by the way.
Yeah,
the
picture's really good.
Not sure what it looks like on the other end. But so what kind of technology is this using? Is this hitting a video server somewhere and it's coming back to them? Or do we know anything about the backbone on this?
I haven't yet. I don't know
cloud?
If Jeff knows anything about that, but I mean, obviously, hardware-wise, is just all on your iPhone, only iPhone right now.
Okay.
So front and back camera, so I can flip the camera to be on you or flip it, you know, in front of me. You can watch on a computer. So like there's a link to the feed. So if you're at a desktop, you could tune in and watch.
Okay. All right.
We're taking questions also. Like we always take questions via Twitter here at Tech Radio. You can tweet us, but we're also taking them via Meerkat today.
So that's got a little chat video or a text chat room built into it,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's built on Twitter. So a question or a comment goes out as a tweet.
Okay, is it hashtag based or is it just
You can't.
How is it kind of attached to the video, or does it just link all those things?
Yes, I'll show you here. But people who are in the feed are kind of almost like a chat room.
Sure.
And then when they leave a comment by clicking the little speech bubble button, it comes right there in the feed in the stream. But it also would show up. There's a little bit of cumbersome. It's a little cumbersome if you're following. If you're just on Twitter and you see someone meerkatting, you will see their tweet as a comment, but if you're not in the room, it probably makes no sense.
Of course, yeah.
So that's something they'll probably have to clean up, I think. But it's just fascinating because I could see it in a month from now, no one using it, and this just being a early adopter blip, gone and forgotten. Or I could see this, you know, I think of the use case you say, if behind the scenes at news, if Anderson Cooper before he went live could also be meerkatting, or you know those live events, it's could be big.
Or the you know. Anderson Cooper, you know, the person that's not Anderson Cooper,
sure,
sees the news and something's happening, whether it's weather related or something with the, you know, obviously a robbery or you know,
sure,
some or an accident or something like that. It's super simple to all of a sudden you're live.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking absolutely. I'm thinking of the Saturday Night Live skit with who's the guy that was eventually the senator? And they strapped a satellite dish on his head. And
I don't remember that one.
Went out. Al Franken, he was going live.
Guy who was actually on, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so Al Franken had a skit, and he had a satellite dish taped to his head, and he got a camera, and he was the one-person mobile news gathering thing. And it was hilarious at the time because all this technology was, you know, the size
gigantic.
Of a bus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
And now it's in my pocket, yeah.
Now
it feels a little like Truman Show-esque too, if you remember that movie, The Truman Show with Jim Carrey, where his whole, you know, like everyone else was an actor in his life and he thought he was living his life and broadcasting 24/7.
Right. Yeah, excellent. Anyway, Meerkat, we're going to have to check that out, and we'll absolutely get a link up on the Facebook page. We do have a few links out there, by the way. There's a funny video I just posted. Some of the best vines from this guy that does a really nice job editing. Some amazing video put out there just for your Friday fun, I guess. You can check that out if you happen to be on Facebook right now. Facebook.com/techradio is where you're going to find that clip and more from today's show. Let's take a question real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Donna writes, I have an older iPad and it started freezing. It goes blank and it's very slow. She's rebooted, cleaned off some apps. I guess her question is, a couple of questions, junk it and get a newer model, or is it expensive to have it analyzed or take it to an Apple store and have somebody take a look at it?
To do that part is free. I mean, if you go to an Apple store and sign up at like the Genius Bar,
mm-hmm.
There's usually a long wait. So if you're going to like, say, Mall of America, obviously in South Dakota, we don't have an Apple store, but Omaha, Minneapolis, and sign up, it's free to have them look at it. We'll see what they say. If it's under a 1-year warranty, all Apple products, they'll usually, that's what I do love about Apple. If it's under that 1-year warranty and you bring it in, they'll just probably hand you a new one if something's truly wrong.
Okay. This is an Apple 2 or an iPad 2, so sure. It's probably, if she had an Apple 2, it'd probably be out of warranty.
Apple 2, absolutely out of warranty. I don't even know if they had warranties back then.
I don't think so.
The other thing outside of going to an Apple store is, it kind of sounds from the email that it works for a while and then gets that way. It's probably some app or something in the background over a certain amount of time. What you may want to do, and you have to look this up, because it depends on what iOS version you have, but you can actually swipe and just turn off individual apps that are running in the background, and then if it speeds back up, you know which app may be causing the issue. If it's slow all the time, I would suspect a problem. But if it's only slow after, you know, it runs great for 3 days and gets slow, I reboot it and it runs great another 2 days or something, I suspect some kind of app in the background.
Or I was going to say, and I know this is really basic IT, but I know that there's often updates sometimes for the iPads too. So
sure.
There could be an update that's maybe slowing it down as well.
Okay. Yeah, I've got an iPad 2 at home. It's got a great big crack through the screen, but it still works great. And it's certainly not a not to the point where you're just going to want to say, oh, yeah, get rid of that thing.
And no, I wouldn't. No.
It's still very functional. It's quick. And I took it to Cancun with me and actually snapped some pictures and did my Facebooking. It's absolutely still.
And Joel's not here yet, but Joel would always say, you know, your Apple products resell very well if you want to put it on a Craigslist or something like that. So maybe some people even would tinker with it. I mean, if it's a broken iPad, it's probably not going to sell.
If you were going to get a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, take it back to factory settings. Just burn it down, bring it back, and see if that takes care of the slowness and the freezing and the going blank.
And when Ken says burn it down, we don't mean actually burn it down. You mean yeah. Wipe it.
I mean wipe it, yeah, okay. And in normal terms, wipe the iPad back to factory settings and start over from there. Quite often that'll, you know, releasing its little brain of all its problems sometimes helps a lot in that situation too. But good luck, Donna, and let us know what you end up with.
Yeah, hopefully finds it out.
The new iPads are amazing. The thin iPads, and of course,
Essentially, they're not calling it iPad 3, but iPad Air, right?
Basically, the iPad Air. 3. Yeah, that's skinny little thing. And of course, we've both got the Mini.
Yes.
Which is a form factor that I love. I actually bought it's a little ruggedized case. I showed it to you one time. It's got a Bluetooth keyboard
and probably throw that thing against the wall.
Looks like a little tank and it's reasonably priced as well. But you've got a little bit thinner, different design.
Yeah. I just have the little, magnetic thing that comes with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But before I put mine in that case, I could still fit that in my back pocket. And of course it's fast and
back pocket. And it works. You got some big jeans.
I do have some big jeans. I've got I do. A smaller man would not be able to do that.
But I bet it's pretty close on mine.
I can pull that off. So there's more options out there as well. If you are shopping for a new iPad, I know I bought the 2, boy, years ago. Years and years and years ago. I don't even remember what year I bought that. But like I said, it's been through
maybe 2 years, yeah. I would guess, since that came out.
It's got to be longer than that.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot longer than that.
But anyway, Joel has that stuff memorized.
Joel does have that stuff memorized. He'll be able to tell you what's on there. But there are some options out there now with the Minis that are great, and of course the Airs. If you're looking for something a little thinner and a little more performance, those are really great. But still, it's totally not in the realm of ditching it and getting onto a newer one yet. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we have lots more things to talk about on the show today. Of course, as well as your questions and comments, we're going to talk about Pebble a little bit, the Pebble Watch, and more. Join the discussion, facebook.com/techradio, or call now 800-456-0766. Of course, the email address is midday@sdpb.org, and we're taking Twitter questions @SDPB. We'll be right back after this.
By your sustaining support and by the South Dakota Cultural Heritage Center in Pierre, connecting the past with the present and sharing stories 7 days a week. More information at history.sd.gov.
So you guys don't have an inkling of what you're about to see if we go in there.
No.
But it's a, you know, privileged area.
Is this the thing about which we spoke?
Oh. There was something on the faces. Oh,
holy moly.
You fill the eye sockets.
Oh my God, there's like a...
They puff out the lips.
Oh, weird. On the next Radio Lab.
A large, ugly growth.
Tumors.
Famous tumors on the next Radio Lab.
Saturday morning at 11 Central, 10 Mountain.
Programming support is provided by your annual financial gift and by Mount Marty College, a private Catholic Benedictine liberal arts college. More at mtmc.edu. Mount Marty College. Put your faith in us.
And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. And if you're on Meerkat right now, you'd be getting the extra conversation about Sturgis and haircuts.
The
and
commercial break that, convo. That's behind the scenes.
It is
start
behind
charging
the scenes
for
comments.
That.
We are glad you are here with us on the radio today. We hope to do some live YouTube streaming soon from the studio here.
Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. I'm installing the software today.
Okay.
If I can get there, and we'll have a webcam up, and we'll do some of that. That'll be kind of fun, and who knows where that's going to go. in the future. But speaking of the future, our next show, March 20th, we will be in the middle of basketball fever.
Yeah, you bet.
And I'll pop down from Brookings from the girls' AA, and I believe that's the girls' AA up in Brookings.
Don't know. I know Summit League tournament this weekend here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a debate person, debate's going on in Harrisburg this weekend.
Was a state debate?
State debate.
I was a debate person in high school.
We've got folks down there taking photos, maybe doing a little video, doing some selfies on Instagram from the live from debate. And we'll of course, have all that stuff posted up. But just off of wrestling, a big two-day wrestling competition. We streamed both days, both A and B. Of course, next year, that's all going to be together in Rapid City. So
okay.
That'll get nutty. All the...
debate and wrestling?
Joel's in the house.
Yeah, Joel is in the house. Now I've got his mic turned up. Wrestling was last week.
Will they have to compete against each other? No. Debaters and wrestlers?
And they will not have to wear singlets, which would be good.
That would be a sight.
That would be a sight. Anyway, we're just off of wrestling. We're in the middle of debate season, and we've got basketball coming up. We're doing all three classes live on the web, of course, and live on television from both the girls' and boys' basketball tournament. So that's all coming up on SDPB. How we got off on this, I'm not really sure, other than we're streaming, and we're talking about streaming. So
yeah, we're talking about streaming. Somebody in the Meerkat just said, Joel, you look uber happy. So.
I'm always uber happy.
We do have our first question in the Meerkat. There's been some rumors, and we'll see what Joel says now that he's here. He can take this question. Scott asks, "Is Apple buys Tesla, true or false?"
Oh, that's a good one. Is that a rumor? I don't think that's a rumor.
I've heard some blog post about it. I don't know if it's actually a rumor. People want it to be a rumor.
Here's the deal. I mean, whether they do or not, no question, they're probably looking.
They're
going
to build a car.
No. I think we covered this last week.
Oh, I was 2 weeks ago.
This is what I think. This let's cover this whole thing. So last week, 2 weeks ago, it was a big rumor that Apple had hired a bunch of automotive engineers, and they had already built a car, and it was coming from really good sources. And so everybody's like, Apple's going to build a car. And it seems strange to me that that's the first thing you think of when Apple hires engineers for cars and technology. It seems more likely to me that they just want to make sure they're in that space. So maybe they'll build entertainment systems for cars, computer systems for cars, operating systems for cars. In order to have that, you have to have a car. And if you want to have new cars, you're going to have to build your own because you don't want people to know what you're doing. It's got to be under the guys. There's lots of people working that space.
Well, I think
so
part
it seems more likely
started
to me.
Because I think of employees who come to Tesla from other companies, Apple is the most like that they employ or something like that.
Yeah, Apple.
That
there,
and
there's
maybe
a lot
GE
of
or Ford or something like it
there's
was.
There's a lot of cross pollination between those two companies. I think they're probably looking at it. I haven't heard any rumors that said they're going to buy it, but Elon Musk builds great companies and then he sells them.
He does do that.
So. And they've got the money.
So the timeline on this whole rumor thing is somebody from Business Insider says, Apple should buy Tesla. And then the next person comes out and says, Apple, should buy Tesla. And they should sell it, and the prediction is Apple will buy Tesla for $75 billion in 18 months. And then
very specific,
very, very specific predictions. Yeah, $75 billion in 18 months. That's his prediction.
So then
a bunch of other websites come out and say, why Apple won't buy Tesla Motors and why Apple shouldn't buy Tesla Motors.
One of the reasons I think most people wouldn't think about that Apple would buy Tesla if they were going to buy Tesla, which I don't think there's any confirmation of that rumor whatsoever,
No.
is not for the car part, which would be awesome, is for the batteries. Because there's not a company out there that uses more batteries in high-end products than Apple. Samsung probably uses more batteries, but high-end top line batteries, I doubt there's very few companies that.
Batteries are a big topic right now because there isn't also Apple is building a. Tim Cook announced they're going to build like a manufacturing place in California just to try to make renewable,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep. And Tesla
has theirs
announced
in Nevada
that they're making, that they predict they're going to be making batteries for homes, something we didn't cover 2 weeks ago. But they're looking at getting that market, which is a great idea. Just an incredibly great idea.
For battery backup or what?
No, to power your house. Okay. See, as you think through that, that sounds ridiculous. But if you think through it, it makes so much more sense. So if you have a battery and it has so much time on it.
So you wouldn't be on the grid? You would just run through your...
Well, yeah, but think about it from several different aspects. First off, you would be more judicious with your energy usage if you could really tell, hey, we paid $5,000 for this battery. Should last us a year. We're halfway through it, and it's less than half a year. We need to start turning things off. So the eco logistics of that are really great. Secondly, you can buy that battery that's been charged with electricity at a much lower level than you could, say, somewhere else. Say you get it charged through wind energy, through, you know, 50 miles away from Sioux Falls. That's great. So you can buy the energy at its peak cheapness from different places. Lots of things in your house run on electricity. And if you have access to your own battery, power goes out. Power doesn't go out in your house. I mean, there's just so many great reasons to do this.
Sure.
It sounds ridiculous, but if it can be made to be, you could rent the battery, you could lease the battery, and it could be made to be as cheap or more likely cheaper than getting less electricity and certainly more reliable.
We've been talking for years about the smart home and the ever-increasing products for the smart home, so it makes sense that that's where things will continue to go.
Sign me up for this. As soon as it's available, I'm on it. Because it won't come to market unless it's a better deal for the consumer. There's just no question about it.
How I'm not an engineer, but how much cleaner is the? As far as electrically, is the voltage and things coming off a battery versus over through the ground or over a line? As far as
cleaner,
picking up spikes and brownouts.
The closer you are to your power source, no matter what it is, the less interference there is. It's just electricity there. So I mean. And this is AC versus DC, probably, although, again, I'm not an engineer, so I don't know how they plan to do it. And they haven't really, released any details. It's just an area of the market they're saying they're exploring, and I think it's a great idea. Of course, it's going to take a lot of electricity to run an oven. It's not going to take much to run your iPad. In fact, it only takes about $1.26 to run your iPad for the entire year worth of electricity. So as we get to more and more energy-efficient devices, which more and more of us are buying, LED TVs that use less power than your car battery can put out in an entire year, it's just going to make more and more sense. So, maybe you run gas for your stove, and rather than using electricity to do it, it's going to be a very interesting thing. Certainly, being able to eliminate that utility power, and maybe you can get a 20% discount if you pay for all up front.
Sure.
So, yeah. Anyway, you asked about Tesla going to buy Apple?
What's your answer on Meerkat? What do you think? Yes or no?
That they're going to buy them? Probably not. No, I don't think so.
I think
John?
No.
John? Jeff?
False.
Jeff, yes or no?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna
say yes. Someone's got to say yes, right?
I hope so. I mean, my hope is not necessarily, what makes a lot of business sense.
I feel like Apple's acquisitions are generally, and you can correct me, you know the history better, but generally more like specific, like little parts or little widget type of plays, like not big, like game changing, like changing, like because they believe they can do it themselves. And the truth is, they probably can.
Or they'll buy something specifically to eliminate a supply chain, problem that they have, and that's why I mentioned the battery part. What would be interesting is if Apple bought the battery division of Tesla.
Sure,
that I would believe. And that would make a lot of sense for them. So
they've got a lot of great engineers at Apple, though, and design engineers, and there's 150 ex-Apple employees over at Tesla now. So
that's the article I think.
So that's the part. Hey, a shout out from Ken and Mary at the Rapid City Apple Store saying, "Don't forget Computer Village in Rapid City." Don't forget to talk about us because we were talking about fixing iPads earlier.
For sure.
And, for West River,
And they said, hey, we're out here in West River too. So
we just don't have any Apple stores in South Dakota, correct?
There are no official Apple retail stores, but there are great resellers in South Dakota, and they are definitely.
We didn't even. So if we're going to mention them, we got to mention the Sioux Falls people too. You got Mac Doctors, Mac Pros.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sioux Falls.
All right. The place in the mall.
I'm not sure where. where the question came from, but she can
well,
take
I think
that,
I made that
to
comment,
the
but...
to the local place and do that. So did you guys see the Canadian government started asking people to stop drawing Spock on their $5 bill in remembrance of Leonard Nimoy?
I did not see that.
This came out on NPR this week. Let me turn my laptop around. But there's an example for the Meerkat folks of a Spocked $5 bill.
I see the resemblance.
It's pretty great. I've seen some Snape ones done on a Canadian five too that are pretty good. But lots of examples of that. It doesn't make their legal tender not legal anymore.
So they said
it's not going to matter, but just please stop doing it.
which is probably the worst idea in the world if you want somebody to stop doing it, is to tell them
exactly.
to stop doing it.
Because
now all of a sudden people are like, people are doing that? I'm going to go do that right now. What a horrible idea.
For all of us in South Dakota with our Canadian dollar bills.
Yeah,
and I've seen some $5 U.S. bills that have been spocked as well, and they're pretty cute too. But none look as good as the Canadians. But yeah, for especially the government to tell you not to do something, of course people are going to go do more of that.
Of course, especially when they say it's not illegal, but please don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your favorite Leonard Nimoy ism that we should take away from the show today?
That he directed Three Men and a Baby. I had no idea.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he was the film director for that movie, which is a very old movie. It was probably out slightly after or slightly before you were born.
Oh, I remember that movie.
Uh-huh. So, yes. But, you know, I tell you, I'm a huge fan of probably the best movie he directed, which is Star Trek IV, the one with the whales. And a lot of people think that's a ridiculous movie, but I'm a huge fan. I'm such a huge fan. I've seen it over 100 times, and I have every line memorized.
Huh.
So, and he directed that film, so.
Of course, there's a lot of great Star Trek performances, and he.
But he made a cameo in the new ones too, and the reboot, right? The new Star Wars came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, we got a question via, must be Twitter, it looks like,
mm-hmm.
Saying that they run off the grid in New Mexico, but our Bose Wave radio hums. Will a sine wave generator fix it? I don't think you need to go that far. That sounds like a ground loop issue. Anytime you get an audio and there's a hum, it's usually a ground loop. So I'd find something metal to ground your system to, and that will probably fix it. Something metal that goes into the ground.
We happen to have a couple audio engineers running around
here
today.
That usually is the problem.
But that
came in from New Mexico, huh?
New Mexico.
Yeah.
All right.
And they go off the grid there. I wonder if they run on battery. That would be awesome. I suppose they run indirectly on battery if they're off the grid. They're using probably solar or wind.
I want to thank Bob. Bob just liked us on Facebook. That's great.
Should we talk about the Pebble Watch?
Yeah. So you've got the biggest Kickstarter campaign to date, correct?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago when we talked about the coolest cooler. Maybe that was back in the winter.
The Yeti?
Early fall. No. The coolest. It was called
the coolest cooler.
Like your summer cooler with every feature imaginable from Bluetooth
charge
to
your cell phone and
blender to cutting board. So that raised, I think that finished at 13.3 million. And the new Pebble Watch just eclipsed 14 million on Kickstarter this week. This is from a couple days ago, actually, so it might even be more than that. But it's the biggest Kickstarter ever. It's the second watch. So I'm just a little shocked. I don't know if you have any listeners who are Pebble Watch users. I'm sure we do. But, it took so long last time. They were the first record holder when they had the first Pebble Watch, and people who paid waited over a year to get their watch.
Didn't you do that and you're wondering if it was ever going to come?
No, I didn't do it, but just people did, and I know people were upset, and so I'm surprised that there's a lot. I mean, maybe it's a great product, but people were back in on it and investing in the
I'm
Pebble
surprised
watch.
People are putting money into it, considering the
Apple watch
is not out yet. You'd think that
so close,
like,
too.
Yeah, I'm going to just wait until, I mean, there's lots of great watches in the market right now. I would absolutely not buy one until I knew what the, you know, the what all the buzz is about is released. It seems like seems strange. Like,
well, and smart of Pebble to do it now.
Yeah.
To get in front of the crowd.
And the reverse is also true. If I was a company interested in making a watch, you'd be like, we better beat Apple. No matter what we do, we better beat Apple.
And that press conference is coming up this month. More details on the watch, right? Or is it April? I thought I saw it. an announcement about that recently. I'll have to find that.
So what makes Pebble different as a wearable than, I guess, the Apple Watch coming out? And you said there's been other great wearables out there as far as watches go. What makes it stand out? Anything?
So it connects to your phone by a Bluetooth. So I suppose, you know, obviously the Apple Watch.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Does it work
phone with Android? The Apple Watch? It won't, right?
Probably not directly.
I wouldn't think so.
I imagine you'll have to use a third party product for the Apple Watch, and that's not the intended purpose. You know, the Pebble Watch is an Android based device, like most of them. I think there are some Windows 7 or Windows 8 or Windows, you know, tiles, whatever they call that. Jeff, help me out. Whatever they call the pretty one that nobody likes. I think there are some Windows or Microsoft watches, but even the new Pebble, I don't know that. I've looked at the Kickstarter. It just looks like bigger, better, faster, and better looking.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't really look like, oh, and this one makes toast. I mean, I think it's like, oh, we saw what Apple came up with, and we're going to do that too.
16.5 million now. I checked the most updated.
So, you know, if you're an Android user, that's the one you want. I mean, you don't want
to
use the
what's
Apple
the contribution one to get one? What level can
so,
you start
of course, they did like an early bird. First 10,000 people could get in at $159. You can get in right now at $179, and apparently it'll retail at $199. So, yeah,
and
if you're willing to wait a month for $20.
And I was just looking at the page, and as we're talking, it's increasing every time it refreshes in both backers and money. So there's already 65,533 backers. So,
yeah, and Apple will probably be able to do that just in the New York market. 65,000 units. That's just a drop in the bucket. So I mean, that's a great backing on Kickstarter, but that's, you know, for a mass market product, that's almost nothing.
Yeah, it's a Kickstarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the Apple Watch going to retail at?
$349 starting at $349.
Okay.
It's gonna
so
start.
And they have different tiers too. There's a fancier one.
Yeah, they don't have any pricing out yet, but it could go as high as $5,000. Because it's gold plated and gold is made out of gold. when I say that to people, they're like, "So much for a watch?" I'm like, "Have you gone shopping for a gold watch?"
Yeah, that's
at any point.
Yeah, you can buy watches way more than that.
They have gold on them, so it's gold, gold, gold. That's all. I mean, I don't know why people are so surprised by that.
Gold is made out of gold. You heard it here first.
Tweet that message out from this week's episode.
It's going to make the show highlights for sure. We do need to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about my favorite thing, which is alcohol. And mixology. We're going to talk about mixology and why Google thinks that you need more help after this from SDPB Radio.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is made possible with your annual support and by SDN Communications, integrating phone and data technology for your office. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Science is big. Think the power of the Big Bang or the distance from here to Pluto. But science can be small, a tiny virus in your bloodstream. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me each week on Science Friday as we sort through the latest news in science and cut science down to size. That's on Science Friday from PRI.
This afternoon at 1 Central, Noon Mountain on SDPB Radio.
Program funding provided by your support and by Home Federal Bank for your personal, business, and agribusiness financial needs. Home Federal Bank, it's your time. Learn more at homefederal.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And welcome back to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We're in the third half of the show. Live on Meerkat, thanks to John T. Meyer, and from a little company called Lemonly here in Sioux Falls. How's Lemonly going?
Good. We're busy. We're growing. We just finished some hiring process, and if anyone's listening, our intern applications are due today. Any grads or recent grads or college, probably junior, seniors, those are the deadlines due today.
And that's lemon.ly.
Lemonly. Lemonly.com now. We dropped
it is?
.ly.
You did.
About a year ago, but
I'm so behind the times. gosh, lemonly.com to get a hold of John T. Meyer if you're in the job market for an intern.
We got
intern.
A question just coming in via Meerkat if you want to take it. It's perfect for Joel.
Okay. Joel Brovelite here as well.
Yeah, I'll let you introduce the rest of the people. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
So we talked about this briefly before you got here because someone emailed a question about an iPad wondering if they should sell it or if it still could be fixed. But someone, John tweets in, what's the best way to sell an iPad or a Mac? So selling your Apple products. I know you're really good at this.
Yeah, I mean, depends on what market you're in. I mean, the bigger city you are, the better money you're going to get for a device on a place like Craigslist. So Craigslist is my favorite because I'm in Sioux Falls, big enough where there's a pretty good-sized demand. If I was in Brookings or a smaller town.
Although college town.
Yeah,
maybe.
During college, that might actually be really good. But if I was, a smaller town, I'd probably consider using eBay. But, they take a percentage, and it's kind of a pain, and you can't meet them face-to-face, which I like to do because then I know that, I will get what I want, and they will feel comfortable getting what they want.
Sure.
So I like to use Craigslist. Definitely.
But you said the copy is really important, meaning what you write, the description.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Some of your pro tips you've given me before.
Yeah, you can't put too much information in a description of the device, and pictures are great, but. Copy, written text about what it does and how you've used it and what you've used it for, even if that seems really obvious. And what I would recommend not doing is going copying and pasting something because then it just looks like you copy and pasted something. I would just go through all of the specs of it,
any dinks or scratches,
come clean on absolutely everything. Take as many pictures as you can.
Well, they're like extremely generous. Don't you get like 12 pictures?
Yeah, absolutely.
On each post, so you've mm-hmm. got the ability to show
even if
every
you're using,
scratch. And
even
every...
if you're using eBay, I think that I don't say honesty is the best policy because you're being honest. While that has its own rewards, you will actually, if you're honest and lengthy about your description and all of the specs of the device and everything you've got that comes with it. Maybe you have a case and a charger you're not going to use. Maybe you've got a couple extra chargers and you want to throw a couple in. If you come honest on all that stuff, you'll make out better on the end of the deal.
Well, and Apple products really do hold their value pretty well.
Oh yeah, it's surprisingly well. And you guys were talking earlier as I was coming in talking about the cracked screen on an iPad 2,
yeah.
Released late in 2011, by the way. That's when they first came out. Okay. However,
you're right.
No, however, they were released then. The iPad 3 came out. They were still selling the 2. And then when the 4 came out, this is right before the Air, they were still selling the 2, not the 3. So you could have had a new iPad 2 all the way up to 2013.
Wow. I know.
All
I
the way
one,
through 2013.
I was an early adopter, though. I got one of the first ones.
So we're both right.
Yes. You're definitely both right. But it wasn't a long, long, long time ago.
Donna,
certainly.
Donna wrote back in the.
Hopefully that answers your question.
Originally talking about, she said, it squelched my fear, gritted my teeth, and hit the reset on all settings. Been trying things out for about 5 minutes. Everything is running faster and without problems so far.
Yeah,
there you go, Donna.
Anytime you've got an iOS or an Apple device, and I'm sure this is the same on Windows, and things are just luggy and slow running, means there's something probably running in the background, some piece of garbage with a memory leak that you installed or you didn't install. Just installing a new operating system is the best way to do it. And all the more reason, and we don't say this enough anymore. We used to say it too much. Back your stuff up.
Oh, man, yeah.
So that you're nimble enough so that you can erase and restore your device. It's the best way to make your system run faster.
John says thank you. So
yeah. Hey, we have a question via email here, Ivor in Brookings. Hey, tech guys, I signed up for a soft card account to pay with my Android phone. Now I see that the soft card app is being discontinued. Any thoughts on this? Any alternative apps to use a pay by phone function? You're laughing, Joel.
I'm just laughing because not because I'm an Apple person and I want Apple Wallet, Apple Pay to take over the universe, which I do, but I would be very careful in adopting any payment system not by a company that isn't like on the top 10 brand list. I would be very careful. You know, if it doesn't say Visa on it.
I've never heard of SoftCard.
Yeah, right. That's why I would probably. Yep. And so I'm not saying that that's a bad idea. I would just be very careful about choosing that. I know that Samsung is going to start building in a way to pay with your regular card. And some of their new devices are going to actually emit a magnetic field and mimic a just a magnetic strip on a card, which seems really odd to me, but they're kind of making an end run around mobile pay that way. So I would definitely stick with, you know, maybe go to Google Wallet. That's
exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So SoftCard came out of that really poorly timed company called ISIS, if you remember. That changed their name. Well, they changed their name to SoftCard.
Got it.
And so there's good news and bad news here. The good news is that Google bought SoftCard.
Oh yeah.
So so the bad news is as of the end of this month.
That gives you your top 10 brand reputation.
There you go. Yeah. So as of the end of this month, the account's going to be closed. But what you're supposed to do is to keep using your digital wallet app. You download the Google Wallet now and get going on that.
Yeah, but the deal with mobile payment is whatever you try is going to it's going to get rolled into something else. It's going to be different in the year. We're just in the very start of that. Now, in 5 years, everybody will be using some sort of mobile pay. I don't imagine there's going to be one brand or one kind, but it's going to be a lot more settled.
Absolutely.
But right now, you're just going to have to live with, I go with this, and it's going to have to change. You're just going to have to make sure you keep track.
I finally got the iPhone 5, and I haven't done Apple Pay yet in person, like at the grocery store.
You've done it online.
But online, yeah, just and holding the thumb down.
Slick.
It's so slick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost as slick in the store, not quite.
When you do experiences like that, you're like, this is the future.
Mm-hmm. So certainly PayPal and Google are not going away anytime soon.
No.
He could probably, if he can switch over to that and that's working out good for him, working out well for him, he can continue using that and that'd be great.
So. I still love PayPal as a service, as like an online service.
Yes, thank you, Elon Musk.
It's nice. It's I was able to configure it right away to my bank account, and it's a bank account that I keep for things. For paying for
I think I like it
like
because sometimes
eBay.
when I have like someone pay me back, like a friend or something, via PayPal, you kind of forget that that money exists. It's almost like fake money. You have like $100 in your PayPal account, and then you use it, and you're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
You got to have that.
So speaking of Google, they think that we're pretty clueless about cocktails, and the reason that they think that is because a lot of people apparently are searching about cocktails, and it's mixology and how to do things, step-by-step instructions is something that they are starting to provide for you now, along with a list of ingredients. It also suggests garnishes and drinkware.
Yeah, so basically the deal is if you just do a Google search for Manhattan drink, instead of having to go through several different websites
and finding out how to
Google will provide you with a recipe, which they've been doing for lots of things. Rather than
directions
actually having,
happen right within.
Absolutely. Or if you want to do math really quick, I don't know if anybody else has done this. It's an old trick, obviously. But if you need to do math, like 24 times 17 square root of, 342, you can just put that into Google and it will give you the answer. You don't actually have to open an application for it. So it's just, it seems like a really interesting thing. But
also,
if you ever want to translate
a word, they do that right there, which
absolutely.
Is great. Say, what does this mean in Spanish?
Kind of another step. Functionality for foodies, they released a nutrition comparison tool last year.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just right down the alley for them. Mm-hmm. So tell me, of these are the most searched cocktails on Google for 2015. Mm-hmm. So fairly fresh list here. How many of these do you know how to make? So I'm just going to say the number one search for a cocktail on Google right now, the Moscow Mule.
Easy.
Moscow Mule. Ginger beer. Vodka, and then maybe a little Rose's lime juice or something.
Oh, we'll have to Google it.
No, that might just be it.
So the number one is Moscow Mule, followed by the Margarita, Bloody Mary, Hot Toddy, White Russian, Manhattan, Mojito, Whiskey Sour, Sangria, and Pina Colada.
I can make all of those except for the Moscow Mule.
I don't know what a Hot Toddy is. It's like a Mississippi thing, right?
A Hot Toddy to be honest with you, a Hot Toddy could be several different recipes.
Is that like a Tom and Jerry?
That would be a localized version of one, but it, usually a hot toddy doesn't necessarily have eggs or cream in it. But it could.
The interesting thing about that service, though, is I feel like the beauty of making cocktails is you all have, you have your own kind of twist, right? You put your own little spin on something.
I, sure. I blame all of this on the final season of Mad Men coming up here. I'm sure.
Sure.
This will all die down after Mad Men's over. I think that's.
I blame it on Dinner Party Download from NPR.
Yeah, I would never drink any of the.
I blame it on the economy.
Some of those sound fabulous, by the way.
No.
So if you're not, are you familiar with Dinner Party Download, John?
I'm not.
So every show, there's
it's a show
a
on public radio.
It is a show on public radio and
I listen to a lot of public
podcast.
Radio, but I haven't.
But it's it prepares you for your weekend dinner parties. It gives you topical themes and things to talk about and interesting tidbits that you can share with people.
Sure.
But based on the theme of the show, they also go to someplace local.
Based on an event that happened in the past coincides with that week.
Right. Yeah. They have somebody create a cocktail.
Related to that drink.
Related to that story.
It's like current events, news, politics, all that type of stuff.
No,
history.
None of that. It's more like arts and culture. So they interview stars and whatever. But the history moment that they use is usually something really old in history, like the invention of the light bulb or, the founding of such and such country. It's usually a pretty old thing.
But there are mixologies in there that I had no idea. The flip, using a, you know, being able to flip things.
Yes.
And do stuff
and you
like
heard
that.
It all here on Tech Radio.
You know it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
On live on South Dakota Public Radio.
Right on.
Yeah. Absolutely. A few minutes left in the show. We do have time for a few more questions and comments. A reminder, we are back on the 20th, or excuse me, yeah, the 20th of March, with live with another show here from USF. Hope to have you all join us, and maybe we'll have our YouTube feed up by then. Not sure. Meerkat for sure. If they're still going, we will definitely get involved in that. You can join the discussion on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. We would like you to like us there if you're a Facebook user. I have posted a couple of things today. One is a series of really funny Vine videos. Did you have a chance to see that link that I sent out to everybody this week?
I didn't.
So there's a guy that is really, really good at Final Cut. And he is also makes a lot. He's been on Ellen, I believe, a number of times, and puts out. Zach King is the guy's name. Does vines, and he does these like little magician tricks kind of things. This is a compilation of what I would consider some of his best ones on YouTube, and I posted that today, right before the show, about an hour ago. Put that up for people. It's just kind of a Friday fun thing. But it's really neat in how really good he is with editing. It's all done through the magic.
Vine has created a whole new kind of genre of like production, you know, because it's not just the fact that it's only 6 seconds; it's the fact that it loops.
Yeah, we should maybe describe Vine really quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think we've talked about it when it first debuted, but Vine is a product that's spun off. Not even spun off; it's built by Twitter, but it's kind of a company within Twitter. And it is 6 second videos. It's a mobile app, and you can film your videos. You can do it all in one 6 second take. You can do, and I don't even know how the people who do all the editing and then upload it. That's a whole nother level. But what's fascinating is it's become a platform. It's a media platform. So there are Vine celebrities with millions and millions of followers. They get paid to rep products or to even do promotions. There are talent agents for Vine celebrities, and this is all within 2 years. I think Vine's maybe 2 years old.
Yeah, it's really, really not been long, very far. And the animations are the most amazing thing I see on Vine. And then, of course, some of the reaction videos are quite priceless as well.
So that's what our attention spans down to, about 6 seconds. So that's,
you know, I don't think that's the reason that it's popular. I think that it's quick, fast, and doesn't require a lot of commitment. I think it's mostly on the back end that's the reason. You know, if you sit down to watch a 2-hour video, you're going to be a lot less likely to watch 3 or 4 of those, you know, on your lunch break, because you know your lunch break's not going to be 6 or 8 hours. So
sure.
I think that's the real reason.
Do people go in and just consume Vine, or are they just forwarded, a social media? You get a tweet, hey, watch this, or a
Sure.
Facebook feed, or is it both?
Sure, absolutely.
Like when you open the app, yeah, you sit there and consume it. It's like Instagram where you can only watch one at a time. You know, so I think that's what made Instagram so popular. Like even photos maybe you don't care about, the user interface is really interesting because you have to give each photo at least a second, right? You have to flip by it at least, scrolling through it. So I think that's an interesting and very intentional. Like it's not the gallery approach where it's a bunch of thumbnails and you pick a photo you like. You have to scroll through all your friends' photos and then, of course, the double tap to like it. And so I think Vine has a similar experience there.
So one at a time. So it isn't really intensive on your computer side as far as computing goes or your phone. It just loads one at a time, and that makes
I mean, I don't think it's anything to do with like performance. It's just there's only one on the screen, and as you scroll through your feed of your friends' photos, you have to vertically scroll down to go through one photo at a time. Meaning they're all in. You know what I mean? It's not instead of bunch of thumbnails. It makes sense.
I just, you know, when I first saw it, I thought, well, they've taken the animated GIF to the new next level. But they're incredibly more creative than that now. So anyway, like I said, just drop by the Facebook page. By the way, I want to remind everybody before we leave, Dinner Party Download, Saturday afternoons at 3 on SDPB Radio. So that's this station. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, you get to tune into those. They're a wacky couple of guys, and they rub some people the wrong way. I like them a lot. I think they're quite clever, and the topics are often rediscussed by me when I talk to other people. So it's a great show to listen to. Thank you for tuning in today to Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys. We are out of time. John T. Meyer, Lemon Lee, thank you so much for your time. Joel Brovelite and Jeff Litterick from Peer, thank you so much for doing what you do, Jeff. We really appreciate that. Join us again, March 20th for another edition of Tech Radio featuring the Computer Guys right here on SDPB Radio. Have a great afternoon, everybody, and a great weekend.